B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Bop-doo-zop, bop-doo-zop.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow.
Wall dick, where you at?
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Well, I guess it's the cigarettes, you know, everyone gets a sneak a cigarette on moving day.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Wow, far out.
Saudi Arabia, party, yeah. Fun.
Ground beef is really a winner nowadays.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. Follow, I've been told, follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. If you're subscribing, it costs money. Follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. And they'll send you an email to listen to the show every day. That's the big highlight. So someone's working on that. And you can give us a call at 617-779-0985. That means that I should bring up the big-time phone operation. Adam Jones is in for Rich today. And Rich had not seen, you know, Bob Odenkirk had a heart issue. And did you guys ever watch the Ben Stiller show?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
No.
All right, so you know Manson, the bit Manson, where it's Benji, but Bob Odenkirk is playing Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had never seen that. So last night I was asleep, and I got a text. I rarely get a text from Rich. And I got a text from Rich saying, how have I never seen this before? And I was very disappointed in him. I'm like, how did you not own the Ben Stiller show? As a comedy fan, how did you not own the DVDs of the Ben Stiller show?
So did he like it?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I didn't get back to him. I was asleep.
Well,
but the phone goes off past 11 on a weeknight. I don't know what's going on. I'm sleeping on an air mattress in a theater room. So, you know, I'm in a very light slumber at that point. So, you know, I'm just making sure that nothing's on fire. And then
Fred, I got a text from Rich last night after 11, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it about the Bob Odenkirk thing?
It was not.
He's loving vacation.
No, it was Joe Murray related.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
That was just that photo from yesterday, Joe, that was sort of screen capped of you with the look on your face when we had a certain somebody on.
Yeah.
On the 7 o'clock hour or 8, yeah.
So he just sent you a text saying, just look at the face.
I'm still laughing about Joe's face today during the phone call today. That's exactly what it's in. There's a picture of Joe.
So he was
now, did you text him back?
I did not. I was asleep as well, Fred.
Okay.
So he's thinking of me before.
Yeah, he's just up watching the Ben Stiller show thinking about Joe Murray.
Yeah, but the man's on vacation.
Yeah, living life.
Yeah, he must have, you know, had some cocktails on the ferry. Or on the plane, heading over to Nantucket, and was up alone. Everyone was slumbering, and he was up looking for some human contact.
Sure.
The ferry.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you don't think he takes the ferry?
No, I think it goes a little bit faster.
He's
than
a puddle jumper?
Yeah.
So he used to go to, so every time he goes, so once a week he has to basically go to Logan and to fly out there. I'm telling you, that's a whole situation, Nantucket.
I don't know for sure, but Nantucket is a whole situation.
So I've never
it's a commitment.
I've never been. I go to the Cape. I live on the North Shore. I live 10 minutes from the ocean, but I go to the Cape. But I've never been to Nantucket or Martha's because I don't want to go through the hassle.
I've been to Martha's Vineyard several times. I've been to Nantucket once, and it was before I lived here. My parents, my dad's fraternity brother, his bunch of his family died in a plane crash like on a major airline, like one of the famous plane crashes. I don't remember which one, but he got an ass load of money because from the airline. So he bought a place in Nantucket, and there was like so he was inviting everyone. They have this huge place in Nantucket. I didn't realize at the time
what it took to get there.
No, I knew that there was the plane crash, but
I mean, like, what it took for you to physically get there.
No, but I didn't realize.
Oh.
No.
Oh, boy.
Fred?
He's still talking. It's just.
No, let me see if I can get him back up, guys.
Oh, you can still see him on the video there. I'm interested
now. Talk amongst yourselves.
I'm interested because to get to Nantucket, I believe you have to take a ferry.
Yeah, or fly.
Or fly, which I know some people do here at the station. I've never puddle jumped before.
No.
I look like a guy who gets on a puddle jump plane.
I've been on some small planes. Not to Nantucket, but I've been on some small planes. But no, that's you do not look like a guy who gets on a puddle jumper. No.
No. What I would do is I would drive to Hyannis or wherever it goes and waited on the boat, and, you know, hopefully I could fit in the bathroom.
All right, so I think Fred, you're back?
I am back. Okay, I don't know what's going on, but it's a good thing that I'm not working next week because things are starting to fall apart around here.
Yeah, on a Friday.
So,
it's great.
Yeah. So, you know, basically, I started the show, so if everything goes kaput, it's not a vacation day. So, so I got that going. No, but yeah.
You punched the clock.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, once you get up, I mean, it counts as a work day. But so, yeah, that's the thing is that I never, like, Nantucket seems like such a incredible hassle to get there. I don't know what's so much better than everything else. You know, people don't they don't go to Newport around here. Newport's an hour drive overland. There's never a traffic jam. There's never anything.
See, I got to be honest. I feel this way about the Cape in general. Like Dan's got the right idea. Dan's going the right direction. That's when you go up to Maine, that's easy drive. You don't have to deal with Cape traffic. Never mind Cape traffic with, you know, a ferry on top of it. Like, I kind of feel that way about the Cape in general.
Now, can you go in the water in the Cape, though? Can you get in the water?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, yeah.
There's a certain part. Like, if you look at it like a flexed arm, you can't go anywhere near the fist and the fingers. That's Provincetown and Truro.
Now, is that because of the sharks?
Yeah, sharks, yep.
Okay, but is the water temperature warm enough where you can go in the water?
Yeah, so I live on North Shore, so the water is at least 20 degrees colder north than it is down the Cape.
Okay, because the problem with Maine and New Hampshire is that you can literally not get in the water for large swaths of the year.
Yeah.
York is extremely cold.
Yes. Yeah, but just go in like July or August. I don't need to go to the beach other times of the year.
Like, I'll give you an example. I bet you the water temperature on my parents' lake yesterday was 90 degrees.
Wow.
Like, easily 90 degrees. Like, it wasn't cool when you jumped in. It was just as warm. And this is a giant lake.
Miami's the only place I've ever felt it like that.
Yeah. It's the second cleanest lake in Tennessee. Do you hear that? Second cleanest.
Nice.
Out of all the lakes, the second cleanest.
Do they have a sign? First cleanest, like an award or a sign?
No, my father can't sit still, so he except for when he's sitting still all day. But he, on the arm, does all this marketing for this Teleco Village that they live in, which is, you know, I don't know how many thousands of people. But he does it for free. So he's a walking encyclopedia of knowledge of the area.
Clean house.
And if you say anything about Tennessee, he gets like all upset. Like, I'll go, I was complimenting him. There's this area around here called Turkey Creek, and it's 20 miles away. But 20 miles away here is 5 miles away in Boston. Not even 4 miles away in Boston. 20 miles from here, you're going 60 miles an hour the vast majority of the time. So there's this area, Turkey Creek, which is a lot like a more upscale Natick, I'd say, where they let everything go. There's a mall. There's a Dick's Sporting Goods that has a climbing wall, a batting cage, a place to try out soccer balls, a place to try out basketball equipment. It is a whole situation. So I said, you're lucky you don't really even have to deal with Knoxville because there's nothing in Knoxville. Oh, he did not like that. Oh, there's a symphony in Knoxville. Oh, is there, Dad? Well, I'm sure you're constantly going to the symphony. I'm sure you can't get enough of the symphony. And I just said, you know, it's a small city. Well, it's small compared to Boston. No, it's small compared to Savannah. It's small compared to other cities. People don't live in Knoxville. I'm complimenting you. Knoxville's further away than Turkey Creek, than Farragut. And then but, you know, the marketing man steps in. He cannot give you an inch on those things. He cannot. He's a walking encyclopedia about these things. And so there you go. The second cleanest lake.
Well, I'm curious about the cleanliness. What does that mean? It's the second cleanest. What does that mean? Like pollution wise, or like visually, like it's like nice and clean. It's not like there's stuff floating around in there.
That I don't know, but I do know it's a double edged sword. So what happened is over 100 years ago, there's the Tennessee River, and it was dammed up.
Okay.
And so over 100 years ago, they said, you know what? Let's open the dam and just let things fly. So they opened the dam, and they flooded about 40 miles of farmland. And so it's a double-edged sword, Adam Jones, because the bottom of the lake is a sand. It's like a sand, okay? But you know what that means? The fishing ain't great.
Oh, boy.
The fishing ain't great because ain't nowhere for them bass to hide, my friend. There ain't nowhere for the bass to hide. So there is no algae. There is no seaweed. There is no there's no underbrush. So it is, like you said, it's a very clear lake. You can see into the water. But that is not good for the fish.
The sportsmen don't like it.
Well, the sportsmen, they do their best. You might pull out some crappy. Now they stock the dang thing.
Yeah,
like it's going out of style.
Sure,
they got big trout in here. If you need to get funky, way in the deep. But you're not having any luck unless you go out with a big spotlight in the middle of the night. You got to go out around 11 o'clock at night, stay out till about 5 o'clock in the morning, then you get your catch of the day. But other than that, you're struggling. All right. Well, a lot of things happened, my friends, yesterday in sports. There was the NBA draft. We are coming at the Major League Baseball trade deadline. The Patriots are firmly in camp. There's some injury news coming out of there. We will have all that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And yesterday, the Sox, they lost. They lost by a lot. They lost 13-1. Who cares, though? Because it's hot stove season. And I'll tell you this, the Yankees, they get Anthony Rizzo, they got Joey Gallo, they got two big left-handed bats. Gallo's got a little something called a cannon in the outfield. So they ask E-Rod over there before the game, what are you thinking about the trade deadline?
I mean, whatever they does, I feel happy with it. You know what I mean? We have a really good team over here. If it would stay the way we are, I think we can go way out there and go into a World Series, you know, so. I just see it like that, you know. If they bring some guys here, we're gonna welcome them. If not, we go with what we got, you know. I mean, we've been like that all year. We've been in the first place a lot, so I feel confident with the guys we have here too. So,
yeah, I'll say what he said. But fear not, E-Rod, because the Red Sox are making moves. And a move that even Adam Jones enjoys.
Yeah,
Kyle Schwarber, who I absolutely hated when he was with the Cubs. You remember he hit the dinga that they put under glass when everything that the Cubs did in 2016 was so precious that they put his home run ball where it landed under plexiglass. But Schwarber, who's an outfielder, left-handed batter, He does not hit for average, Adam Jones, nope. And Joe Murray. He does not hit for average, but he does hit a little something called the long ball, and he tied a record for leadoff hitters, which doesn't mean anything because leadoff hitters are not what leadoff hitters were even 10 years ago, because you don't have to be fast, as Schwarber is not. He hit 15 ding-a-ling-a-lang-longs over there in the month of June when it heated up. Schwarber's bat did the same. He said, souvenirs for everyone. Hit himself 15 dongaronga ring rings. But, fellas, there's a hitch. There's a hitch in his giddy-up.
Oh, his giddy-up. There you go.
There is. I don't know why I talk this way all the time about baseball moves. I don't know why it excites me so. But the local nine, he is out right now with a hamstring injury. But in fairness, the Red Sox gave up nothing. They gave up some kid that's whatever. I mean, he's no blue-chip prospect. Let's put it this way. The Nationals are just dumping everyone in sight. So I would imagine Scherzer leaves today. But your thoughts on this move, fellas?
Well, so you prefaced it and said I like it. I do. I mean, I don't know if it's a need per se. Like, I thought they needed a starting pitcher. I thought they needed a reliever. I thought they needed a first baseman. I guess Red Sox fans and even ESPN, I was looking at a breakdown of the trade. Some people feel that maybe the Red Sox are going to try him at first, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think he's played.
Let me say something right now.
Yeah.
Is that first base, I don't know why, but it is by far the most underrated defensive position on the field.
Well, the Red Sox just got a guy hurt there who had never played there in Arroyo, Schwarber's hurt,
But beyond being hurt, like, I'll give you an example. The Cardinals were horrendous defensively 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed nothing but putting Paul Goldschmidt at first. And all of a sudden, they became one of the best defensive teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your first baseman, it just makes sense that they're involved with, like, every play.
Yeah. Sure.
So it just makes sense that the defense at first base is a huge thing. So just, you know, like, and we talked earlier in the season about, you know, if you wanted to move Devers to first. But that's something that, like, you know, putting him, that's not just putting him in like one day at first and saying you're our first baseman. That we were talking about, you know, working him into that position. You know, you can't just put a guy at first base and go play first.
No, so I agree. So I'm surprised at how many people feel like he could adjust to first base. But my only point was, it's not just Red Sox fans. I saw a breakdown on ESPN that thought they'd try him there, which would surprise me. Like, I think he's a left fielder, DH, kind of in the J.D. Martinez vein. And he's going to hit right-handed pitching. He's going to hit for power anyway, not for average. So, you know, I feel like this move is similar to what the Yankees did for Gallo or similar to what Tampa did for Nelson Cruz. I don't really think it fits their biggest need. And I kind of find the whole last, I don't know, 48 to 72 hours kind of laughable. Oh, they're going to be in on Scherzer. And he goes to the Dodgers. Oh, they're going to be in on this. They're going to be in on that. They're going to be in on all these big things. And, you know, they're in on Schwarber, which is a nice move, but it's far from, like, you know, this needle-moving, significant deal Scherzer would be.
Yeah, it's not Scherzer and Trey Turner.
Correct.
It's not a blockbuster move, but I tell you, when I saw the Trey Turner-Scherzer move in passing, was like, finally, the blockbuster of blockbusters. And you're like, whoa, Barry Bonds? Like, what happened? And you're like, oh, it's an old guy.
Well, I also think this helps them versus the right-handed, left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
They needed a left-handed bat, but they, like, what did Rizzo take? I know the names that were exchanged for Rizzo, but were they Anthony Vizcaino and Kevin Algaraga. I don't know who
I don't think
guys
the Yankees
are.
Gave up much. But the Red Sox didn't either, would be the point. So I would imagine.
But the thing is, why did you not get. Correct. I would have much preferred Rizzo.
Same.
He's a left-handed hitting first baseman, which is what I believe your most glaring weakness on this team was. And my point is, if you didn't have to give up much and it's all the same, you know, in the Yankees didn't have to give up much, just push a little bit harder for Rizzo. Because really, if you weren't going to have to give up top five prospects for him, which I can't believe the Yankees did, if they did, by all means, call in. But, you know, do that instead of, you know, shoehorning a guy in and saying, you know, first of all, if Schwarber's cold, forget about it. I mean, he could be atrocious.
But he has term too. I mean, he'll be here for a little bit.
Well, kind of. It's a mutual option. So they both have to opt in. Meaning Schwarber has to not want to go to the market, and the Red Sox.
So
have to
he
want
basically
him
doesn't have term. Okay. So he'll basically not stay. He's going to be a free agent. So my point is that, you know, you're putting a round peg in a square hole here. That you could, there was a left-handed bat, first base bat, a dependable first base bat that was part of your organization available, and you let your closest competitor get him, which I would not be thrilled at if I was a Red Sox fan. But again, you gave up nothing, so, you know, congratulations. And the kid is fat. And he just swings and misses a ton. Why he was hitting leadoff, we'll never know.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that either.
Yeah.
It baseball has changed so much that, like, who would have thought? Like, imagine if you were making an RBI lineup when you were playing the
Nintendo. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I know. Adam, how old are you?
I am 37.
You're 37? Yeah. Jesus.
Was that
wow,
older?
I'm almost a decade older than you.
But okay. Did you? I thought you were saying I was old.
No. So you, and Joe, you're 40.
I'll be 40. I'm 39.
Okay. So did you guys play sports talk baseball, RBI? What are we talking
about? I played RBI, but I played it on Sega.
RBI and Tony La Russa baseball.
Oh. Ooh. So you had a...
you went the extra mile.
Pitcher hit an eighth. You had a lot of pitcher hit an eighth. Well, the thing is that would you have ever taken your fattest, slowest guy who never made contact and put him leadoff?
No.
No.
Like put Tony Armas hitting leadoff?
No.
You put Armas hitting fourth.
Fastest guy leadoff, best contact hitter second, best hitter third, power hitter fourth.
Vince Coleman, Ozzie Smith, Tommy Herr, Jack Clark. That's the way that the lineup goes.
Bingo. That is exactly how a lineup should look.
That you get 120 stolen bases at the leadoff spot. You got a light hitting, a contact guy. He'll hit the other way.
He'll like slap down a bunt. Yeah.
Slap down a bunt. He'll move that runner like there's no tomorrow. You got a 300 hitter with a little light bit of pop at third. And then at fourth, you get your mighty power hitter jacking up 22 ding-a-ding-a-ding-dongs a year. And that was what Jack Clark did. And that team went to two World Series.
Should have saw him when he was on the Red Sox, Fred. Jack Clark.
I heard he lost his mind when he was on
hit
the
a home
Red
run
Sox.
On Marathon Monday and then bought a bunch of cars and went bankrupt.
Not much from there,
Yeah, Jack Clark seems to be a little worse for wear after the stint. He's doing TV somewhere. He's kind of the Phil Esposito of TV.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's just kind of, you know, I'm Jack Clark. But he's doing, it might be San Francisco that he's doing TV. I am not sure. But he's doing TV somewhere. So, listen, you didn't give up anything. You know, if this kid gets hot, I mean, he's shown he can.
Yeah, that run he went on this year was spectacular. I mean, you do the dong report every night.
Oh, it was great. 15 home runs in a month, ding-a-ling-a-ling-dongs or whatever they were. I mean, that's great, but you feel like he probably kind of used up his hot streak. Who knows how he's going to come back from this injury? I'll say this too, and he might not even be back until like mid-August. I'll say this too. If he's not playing first base, and I'm with Fred, I don't think they're going to play him at first base. I think if they do, that's a potential disaster. You try it out. You know, you have some room to play around with here down the stretch. So try it, I guess, but I wouldn't expect that to work out. If he's a left fielder DH, like he's been his entire career outside of his rookie year as a catcher, doesn't that kind of mean the Jaron Duran experience is over?
Oh, I agree.
Like that's
that's over.
That's done, that's right? Over. I mean, that's he had his little fake inside the park home run the other night, which everybody got excited about. But that's kind of over and done with, right? Because Verdugo will shift to center, I imagine.
Yes.
Maybe Kike Hernandez at second, and now Duran's back in Worcester or whatever.
Yeah, Duran is that's over for the year. Yeah, Duran's not on your major league roster. That is over.
Is he available? Like, could he and Jeter Downs now be available?
Or Houck? They optioned Houck for AAA yesterday?
Like, here's the deal. What would Berrios, what's it going to take for Berrios at this point?
Probably, I mean, some top prospects. He has term next year. So that he's the best player left on the market, I think. Him or like Chris Bryant.
Could they land? And as I was going to say, Bryant's the name that I want. Santana, I'd be interested in, but not great defensively.
Where are you going to play Bryant?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'd play Bryant at first.
I don't think he's played there.
He's played all nine positions this year, yep.
But he's a gold
gold glove third baseman who plays the outfield now. He plays wherever the Cubs stink so bad, he plays everywhere. play center
field. They're probably trying to. They're probably playing him. They're probably moving him around.
Hey, he's played 10 games at first.
Yeah, he can play, dude. And I know he's a real free. I mean, he's a real free agent. And again, I when I heard him talk during the All-Star game, they had him mic'd up. He, to me, it sounds like he still has some juice left and wants to help some team down the stretch here.
I thought he was like Rizzo, that they didn't want to play without each other, and he desperately didn't want to leave Chicago. Can you imagine being on that Cubs team that won the World Series in Chicago?
Well, Theo leaves, and look what happens, just like here.
Yeah, I know, but they don't care about the now. Can you imagine what life is like on a day-to-day basis for those dudes?
Oh, yeah, there, yeah. Free drinks.
With those
free
those
food, free drinks, sounds pretty great to me.
Yeah, those idiot fans don't care if they win or not. They're just in the confines again. In the confines.
They got their one. Yeah, that's all they need for another 100 years. They're good.
And I'm not even sure they're glad they had the one. I'm still not positive. I won't. I think I hurt the show a little bit with my hatred of the Cubs on their World Series run. But I'm not even positive most of their fans are glad they won that World Series. I think they're happy just the way things are, that they can go the curse of the Billy Goat. All right. Well, yesterday was the NBA draft, and it was uneventful for the Celtics.
I watched the whole thing.
Did you?
The whole entire. I had bets.
It went fast until after the lottery. Why did the lottery go in like 45 minutes and then all of a sudden I left for about 45 minutes and I came back and they had made three picks?
It's the ping pong balls. You know, it takes a long time for those things.
No, but the lottery went fast. Like, well, the lottery picks went fast.
Oh, yeah, last night.
And then it stopped. Well, not at the end of the lottery. Then it just stopped.
Second round, it's like, do you want me to draft you? Do you want to become a free agent? That's basically what it is.
Well, I mean, Aaron Henry did not get drafted much.
Luka Garza, though, to Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit had about 15 second round picks, and they were just like, we're taking kids from U of M, and we're taking Luka Garza. Don't worry about us.
No, Cade Cunningham and Luka Garza, man.
They're nice one and the same. They're the same expectations coming out. It's like the Garza man.
The new Thomas and Bill Laimbeer, you know what I mean?
That's right. Well, I bet you Garza's skill set is very similar to Bill Laimbeer's.
Defensively, yes.
Unfortunately, they're the same size, and unfortunately the game has changed a little bit since then. But I think Garza is probably a fairly – does he shoot over his head?
He does. Like, no, he's got like really good form, actually. Garza's –
no, I know.
They call it beef, Fred. You know, the balance, elbow in, eye on the basket, and the follow through.
If you have not seen Luka Garza play college basketball, then you have not watched college basketball, because he was at Iowa again for 17 years. He's 25. He's 28 years old. He just stayed at Iowa forever. He's like the quarterback of Miami. He's been at school for forever. All right, we'll be back. We'll hear a little bit from Brad Stevens. We're not going to talk to Brad Stevens. How dare we even suggest that? We'll hear from Brad Stevens and talk about what happened in the NBA yesterday. We'll have that for you. Hear that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub. Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friend.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah. If I need the money.
Nasty percent.
For awesome amounts of dough.
Yeah.
If I need the money.
What's the game?
Awesome amounts of dough.
It says Jay Dilla, money.
Oh, Jay Dilla. All right. Slum Village, perhaps. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones is in. Yesterday, there was an explosive deal. I don't know, leading up or at the NBA draft, a deal where the LA Lakers got Russell Westbrook in exchange for Caldwell Pope, Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, the most annoying of players, and the overall 22nd pick. for Westbrook and two future second rounders. This deal was met by skepticism of NBA heads everywhere. They do not like this deal for the Lakers. Does this make Washington a better team? Because they are in the East. What are your guys' thoughts on this?
I just want to throw in that what the reason why the Lakers are being criticized, I feel, is they passed on Buddy Hield, who was one of the best three-point shooters in the league. They went with Westbrook, the star, or LeBron, excuse me, went with Westbrook, the star, instead of Buddy Hield, the shooter. Buddy Hield's shooting percentage is better than Davis, LeBron, and Russell Westbrook. So, like, they picked the wrong guy here. But I think for years, Jones, and you could probably agree, I think this Westbrook thing to the Lakers has been, I don't know, probably, you know, pen to paper, something that may have happened maybe 3 years ago, been discussed for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was out there earlier in the offseason. I didn't know what they'd have to give up. Like, I would rather have Westbrook. He's a better player. And, like, Hield might be a better fit with those other two, but you can find shooting, and guys are going to want to come play with LeBron and Davis and Westbrook, and I'm sure that's LeBron's mindset. Like, hey, we got three of us here. They probably already have a bunch of veterans on minimum deals that they can surround, you know, shooters that they can surround with those guys. LeBron's won with crappy point guards. He's won with
Dellavedova.
Chalmers, Dellavedova. I mean, Kyrie was on that team too, but Dellavedova, late career Rajon Rondo. Like, I'm pretty sure you can figure it out with Westbrook. So I like Westbrook. I like that move. I know a lot of NBA fans, Fred's right, I think mostly are kind of picking at the move and blowing the move up. To answer Fred's question, though, I don't really know what the Wizards are doing here. And all the reporting from Shams and Woj is that, well, this is to make a run at Bradley Beal, and this is more options around Bradley Beal and more shooting around Bradley Beal and more cap space around Bradley Beal to make moves to keep Bradley Beal and sign him to a max extension. Like, I don't buy any of that. Like, this feels like the first move that Washington is making to trade Bradley Beal. To me, that's what I think.
All right. And if you're talking about Shams also with a report that the Celtics are in by a player by name of Lonzo Ball. Is this something that excites you to C's fans? One, yes. A gambling man.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I listen.
20 mil.
I think this dude's had a raw deal since day one, and I don't want to bring up college because I know it's completely different. But he was one of the most dominating college. He played on a team that just had a lot of talent. I think with Boston, he wouldn't be considered a scorer and need to shoot the basketball. He has gotten better at shooting the basketball, but the way he facilitates and handles the ball, you know, I think it would fit well with a Jason Tatum type offense. Not a great defender. But for the most part, though, I think he's a star player. He's star power. People want to play with him.
So I think this might tie into Beal, because signing Ball as a restricted free agent, which means there's a market you're going to have to outbid other people for it, right? I mean, it's first of all, New Orleans could match. You know, second of all, you can have any other team, you know, go out there and place a higher tender on him, and he could go chase that. So it's a competitive market. And you're going to get him on, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, something like that. I don't know what the max level of years you can put on a restricted deal. So you're going to eat into all that cap space. All the cap space everybody was celebrating with the Kemba Horford deal. And by the way, Mannix reported last night that the Thunder are already shopping Kemba. Like, yeah, they might flip Kemba again. And we'll see if they get a better deal than the Celtics did. But like, all this cap space now that you have, if you sign Lonzo Ball to a restricted free agent, that cap space is gone. Forget a free agent in 2022. Forget a free agent in 2023. I don't know how realistic it is you're getting one of those big free agents to come to Boston anyway, but your cap space is gone. Well, maybe Lonzo Ball is in that Marcus Smart role where he doesn't shoot as much. He's certainly not the defender Smart is, but he could run the offense. He can knock down some open shots when he's there. He's not going to hunt for shots like Marcus Smart. And maybe Smart and other pieces are what the Celtics are going to try to do to trade for Bradley Beal. Like, I wouldn't take that if I were Washington. I'd want Jaylen Brown, and that's where I'd start my trade negotiations. But maybe Lonzo Ball would be a moving piece in a Marcus Smart trade, perhaps for Beal or something else.
All right. Well, while all that was going on, there was an NBA draft, and the Celtics did not disappoint. Here's Brad Stevens on their one pick in the draft.
We really like Juhan. You know, I think that he's a guy that's a big, strong, versatile guard that can guard up with his strength and athleticism. He came in for a workout the other day. We got to see him up close, and we've been paying attention to him for a long time.
Oh, I hope we get to interview him. Oh, I hope there will be no letdown from the Danny Ainge interview. Brad.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Brad would be the guy, right? Because we had Ainge for all those years, who was fantastic. And then we are going to just rev it down to one horsepower with Sleepy Brad just coming on and talking about his boring picks. So whatever with this guy.
Juhan. By the way, never heard of him. Know nothing about, I don't know.
No, who on earth has heard of him?
He's, well, all I know is I read about him. Two paragraphs, guys, so don't think I don't put it in the hustle. But apparently he's not even 19 and already ripped.
He averages 4 points a game.
Seven-foot wingspan. All right, if you're worried about free agency, here's Brad Stevens filling you in on that.
With regard to what we want to add to our team, you know, it's pretty consistent. I think we need to be mindful of, you know, our near and long-term views. And at the same time, add hopefully an edge and some experience to our team.
Yeah, if you told me Brad was on Ludes, I would have said, where'd he get him?
Now, you don't think you guys could draw a little more personality out of him? You don't think so?
Absolutely not. You cannot mine for something that's not there.
I don't know.
But what was Brad just sitting there all draft waiting for this French kid, or what was he doing?
Let me
just get to this last piece of audio, because I've had Dan pull it. Here is Brad again, exciting the crowd with
regaling the crowd with great tales.
It was more like his contagious excitement. All right, here is Brad talking about what they tried to do during the draft.
We tried to trade up, but you know, we weren't willing to offer very much. As you can see, and you probably know, felt like the draft was, you know, there were a lot of good players at a lot of different levels of the draft.
Oh, yeah.
With us, with where we are from a financial structure, from a roster spot structure and everything else, it didn't make sense to have, you know, three new additions from this draft or two new additions from this draft. So that had a part of it.
Yeah. So if you told me he was drunk, I would have been like, okay. It's a man speaking in slow-mo. But, all right, so you guys...
A little past his bedtime, I feel like, Fred. I mean, well, yeah. He was up late.
It does sound like he was tuckered out at that point.
He did that interview in a nightcap holding a candle while he was getting ready to go to sleep.
You're saying he's full on Amish.
Does he melt the pen like when he signs the contracts?
He melts the wax to seal the envelope.
Yeah. I was going to say, Fred, so Jones used to call Brad Stevens G. Willikers.
Yeah, G. Willikers.
Now he is GM Willikers.
Yeah, he's been promoted. That was actually Tom Morgan who came up with GM Willikers. Very, very clever. But yes, he's the boss man now. He's the big boss man. He's got to stay up late.
He was babbling about something that was uninteresting about hiring a GM.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. That came out this week, right?
What is that? What is the hiring? Then what's his job? Then his job is nothing?
Right? President of basketball operations. I thought like Mike Zarin.
Did Danny have a GM?
Yeah, well. Did he have
someone with the title of GM?
I think he had somebody with the title assistant GM. I think Mike Zarin and
Yeah, I know that because every time someone mentioned Zarin, I knew they were a huge dork. No, I'm just joking. But the thing is that Danny was the GM. That's why Danny came on. That's why Danny was so great on the show. I really did like Danny, regardless of what he did with the basketball team. I think he's a really stand-up guy. I mean, he comes on and he doesn't lie. I'll say that he doesn't lie. And I've listened to a lot of BS over my career, and I got to respect that guy. But he was the GM. So if Brad hires a GM. So this is radio, but it's not about radio. So would the station then talk to another guy? Like, would there be another guy taking responsibility publicly for the moves? Is what my point is. Because with Danny, regardless of anyone else's title,
no, I think it would be like
Danny was the guy who took responsibility for the move.
I think it would be like Chaim Bloom. Like Chaim Bloom is not the GM in title; he's the chief baseball officer or whatever stupid title they've given him.
Jesus.
But Brian O'Halloran is technically the GM, right, for the Red Sox. So I think it would be something like that. I mean, Brad would still be the face of it, but there would be, I don't know, like a day-to-day guy that would be the
so you're padding your resume, basically.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Who's the guy who just went to the Texans? That was with the Patriots.
Casserio.
Nick Casserio was the guy who did all the dirty work.
Right, Casserio, that's a good one. Casserio technically had the title in New England, but Belichick was the face of it, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you guys didn't know anything about, were you disappointed in what they did in the draft? Were you, you guys are big basketball guys.
I'm fine. I love Sam Hauser. If for anybody who doesn't remember this kid,
the Hauser brothers.
Well, he's your boy Joey. He's on Michigan State.
Joey was not good.
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, give him time.
Give him time. He's got 1 year left.
That's right. Give him another year.
Yeah.
But no, Sam legit, like, hit some big. He was awesome at Virginia. He was great at Marquette when they were there.
These are brothers that were like high school legends.
Hauser should have been a draft pick. The fact that he wasn't, like, there's a couple of guys I were actually surprised they didn't get drafted. Well, Gonzaga is one dude.
Aaron McClung from Michigan State didn't get drafted.
But like, so there's probably some value in some of these. But I think Hauser could be a shooter for this team. He'll be a D-League player, obviously, but
I just thought it was interesting. Brad said there, you know, knowing our financial situation, knowing our roster and everything, like, we didn't need to add a bunch of bodies. So, you know, I don't know what he has up his little nighty sleeve there that he wants to make a move for. But, I mean, it doesn't sound like they wanted to add anything to the roster.
Well, can't add more. The thing is, what he's saying is the obvious, is that they took so many players in the draft over the course of the last few years that there's just no room on the roster. Mm. I mean, yeah, I mean, if they, you know, traded and, you know, got up into the first round and they take a kid.
But I would,
where
I would
are you gonna put them?
I would still like to see, no, and I agree with that. I would still like to see them consolidate. The only thing I was disappointed with last night is I thought there was a chance they'd make a move. I don't really care what they took at 45. I don't care about the flying Hauser brothers. Like, I would like to see them, or would have liked to have seen them make a move if there were some pieces moving around last night. Not that it had to be Westbrook. That's the only thing I was looking for last night that was a little disappointing.
Well, the Hauser brothers, you can put them down all you want, but they were high school legends. And they were both entered the transfer portal, and one went to Michigan State and was very disappointing, and the other one went to Virginia and was excellent. All right, we'll be back. And when we come back, Joe in his happy place. And I want to talk a little bit before we're doing a replay, but for good reason. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.